Labor Day. I don't know, it used to be when I was a kid, we didn't go to school till after Labor Day, but most of these kids have been in school for 3 weeks or so now, it seems. I guess it's been 3 weeks. Unbelievable. Maybe it's been 4 weeks for public school. Has it been four? Early August, a month ago anyway. Yeah. You wonder what all these holidays are for. Of course, nowadays they have a day for everything. And with the internet, it spreads around. Everybody's aware of it, or at least you're somewhat familiar with it. Dog days and cat days, pot-bellied pig days. Everybody's got a pet, got to have a day for their pet. We celebrate Labor Day. Supposed to take the day off. I'm not sure that everybody does, but you're supposed to take the day off of Labor Day. And Labor Day is a national day to pay tribute to this nation's strength, the working force. It's a pretty good day, isn't it? The working man is the brawn behind the economy of our country. You could even say, really, that the working man is the brawn behind the freedoms of our country, providing good leadership. Hear what I said, don't the working man providing good leadership. It's kind of hard to be a good leader unless you've worked. But the American worker is the celebrated, is in the celebrated spot for Labor Day. The spotlight is on the laborers. I guess it's over 100 years old now, this Labor Day. Began back in the 1800s. And you look around the room, the congregation this morning, and you'd pretty well take a guess that the majority of the adults here and many of the kids know what it is to do a work or a day's work. Laboring. Toiling. Is it proper to say sweating from this point? Perspiring. Getting your hands dirty. Taxing your mind and whatever it is that you're doing, kind of labor you're involved with, but it's your day. It's a great day of celebration for the laborer. Take a day off, enjoy family, friends, such like that. Jesus had something to say about labor. If you go over to John's Gospel, chapter 6, you'll see the story beginning to unfold at the very, very beginning of that chapter, where Jesus is teaching, he's instructing. In verse 5, he sees a crowd needs to be fed, and so he asks his disciples to feed the crowd. They don't have anything to give, but finally somebody says, well, there's a few loaves and a couple fish that we have here. It's available among us, but that's such a small amount to a large crowd. And Jesus, in so many words, said, it's sufficient. It'll do. And so they fed that great multitude of people that day and took up fragments, all the remaining fragments. And if that little boy that provided the beginning was allowed to take them all home, it was quite an investment for him that day. He invested wisely in the kingdom of God that day, giving one basket of a meager snack and taking home the remnant of baskets full. Incredible story. Then in the as the story continues on, the disciples get into a boat and they begin to cross over the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, and the people, the crowd, notice that the disciples are alone in the boat, and Jesus had somehow disappeared. He got away. But the crowd realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And so when morning came, it appears that they're looking for Christ, and they found the disciples, and lo and behold, Jesus was there, but there was still only one boat docked at the shore. And so they ask him, how or when? You're here, but you were over there and you were not in this boat. Jesus really doesn't seem to give them an answer to their question. But Jesus goes right to the heart of the circumstances. That's what's good about God's word. That's what's good about Jesus. He takes it right to the heart. And if we allow him to speak to us that way this morning, there's a good possibility that it's going to step on our toes just as much as it did to them that were listening. Because I think that we all would find it easy to fall into the same trap that this multitude fell in. Jesus tells them, "You seek me, but you're not seeking me because you saw miracles. But you're seeking me because I fed you and you were satisfied. You had a free ride at Golden Corral and you went away satisfied." Boy, isn't that just a little bit of a slap in the face? Isn't that a little bit of a tough thing to do when you hear it, that Jesus is speaking to them so straightforward? You're coming after me because of the loaves and you were filled. So how does that speak to me this morning? How does it speak to us this morning? Well, it could be that in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the comforts of our lives, that we find it easy to follow Jesus simply because of the blessings that he gives us, forgetting the salvation that he provides us. Because Jesus goes on to really narrow it down when he says in verse number 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life." The Amplified gives it an amplification. Let me share that with you this morning. He said, "Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually unto life eternal." If we take that amplified, we can understand that Jesus is really narrowing it down and speaking to the very detail of the heart of these people that were listening. And yea, he's speaking to us as well today, because again, I believe that we can easily fall into that trap or into that mindset that it's easy to follow him because of the blessings. Though he may not be giving us bread and fish, as it were, he is providing. The provisions, the blessings. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. We can sum it up very simply with a little picture, as it were. I used to do this with a tape measure or with our mind, but then I saw that Francis Chan had a better idea, and so I'm going to use his idea with it this morning. But we have a rope here, and we could call it an eternal rope. It stretches out there quite a ways. The green part of it is the first 20 years of our lives. We spend the first 20 years preparing for the rest of life, so to speak. And then we have the red part, from 20 to about 70. Now, I know that 70 isn't the retirement age for some people, but you know, you've got to find a time somewhere to mark it down here. So let's just go with 70. You know, Robert over here, he's not shaking his head literally, but, you know, gets up just about every day and goes to work, and he's a little bit past that. I think he's probably over around here somewhere. So we can't. But anyway, you know, we spend 20 years getting ready for the next 50 years. And so we spend all of that time working, laboring, spending, and toiling for the last little bit of time. I have it out to 100. I thought about stopping at 90 just for the sake of the space here, but I didn't want anybody to think that they had to die at 90, so I wanted to stretch it on out there. Wanted to stretch it on out there to at least 100. We could go further, but that's, again, neither here nor there. But are you getting the picture? Are you getting the picture of eternity, of life in reality? And we spend all of this time focused on these 100 years, and yet we can continue to wrap it up and go for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus said, labor not for the things that perish. Kids, that doesn't mean that this 20 years isn't vital to you and going to school. That's not what that's saying. It doesn't mean that you can spend the next 50 years after you're 20 years old, and that doesn't mean that that's welfare time. There's all sorts of things that we can bring into this little section, this little bitty portion of the rope. All the labor, all the work, we have to do it. We have the schedule to keep. We have to keep this and we have to do that. And we are running here and there. We are going. 40-hour week. Some of you don't know what a 40-hour week is because 40 hours is just the beginning. And there's 60 hours, and sometimes maybe you have logged in an 80-hour week, and it's going. Do you think that perhaps that Jesus is speaking to us through this verse, labor not for the meat? You're only following me for the blessings. You're only following me for the things that I provide for you. You're only following me because of, when what is it that Jesus says later in that verse? Or in that passage, there's something beyond this portion. Are you finding it? Are you seeing it there? The Son of Man will give or furnish you, speaking about that eternal life, for God the Father hath authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. He's talking about this eternal life, the things that are afterwards, not the temporal of this portion, but the eternal that follows the temporal. I don't try to take away from the celebration of Labor Day. I'm not trying to diminish the reality of this day or take away from the laboring force of America at all. But Jesus is very clearly telling us of the importance of what is yet to come, and yet we spend so much time spending and living, breathing only the first portion, and we continue to go on throughout eternity and fail to realize the extent that is there for eternity. So when he says labor not, it's not a matter of not working. It's not a matter of not toiling. It's not a matter of not doing the things that a proper person would do in life. But it's spending the time and realizing that our time is valuable in the sense of eternity. That it goes on and goes on. And I could keep rapping. And we must prepare for what is past, the golden years, if we are to survive to that point. So in a very serious moment, without taking away from anything of your celebration of this weekend, have you made preparation for that eternal? Or are you focused on the temporal? Some of you are still in the green. Many of you are in that red area where it becomes pressured. The burdens of life begin to mount and the struggles continue to surround and problems exist. There's a few that are in those golden years that are said to be golden years anyway. But the most important part of life, Jesus is telling us, is that this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He has sent. That we are to follow Him. That we are to receive Him as the bread of life. Receive His life that He has given us. Those people that were following didn't understand it. They didn't grasp it. They were asking Him even more, Lord, would You give us this bread? And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But if we don't come to Him, what a dismal eternity. What a dismal eternity. Just a short portion, preparing for all. I trust you have prepared and are preparing. Let's stand together this morning. Doesn't matter what part of the color of tape that you are living in. It's a word for us from Him, from Jesus Christ Himself, to be prepared and focused on the things that are eternal. May God help us. May God help us. May God help me. Amen. Trust you have a good Lord's Day. The presence of God and His blessings. Jonathan Albright, would you dismiss us in prayer?